Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Grand Final Week. We're getting to the very pointy end, Body.
Yes, hello there. Yes, we've got the big Game 3, and I think it's going to be over in Game 3. But yeah. We've got a terrific guest who's very much involved. Brad?
Very much. Well, here he is, and let me go for it, please. Sit back and relax. Born and raised in Illinois, he played his college basketball at St. Louis University while earning a bachelor's degree in marketing and an MBA in his 4 years there. During his time at LSU, he was selected in an all-rookie team, an all-defensive team a couple of times, an all-American team, and he was voted the A-10 Men's Basketball Student Athlete of the Year. It was in 2009 that he joined the mighty Perth Wildcats and then was coached by our good mate, Rob Beveridge. It was ridiculous that there was a bit of talk at the beginning of that season of him being cut, but then he went on to lead the team to the minor premiership and grand final appearance. In the grand final series versus Illawarra Hawks, it was he that took over in Game 3, having 29 points, 5 3-pointers to lead them to the championship. He was also named Grand Final MVP. He signed for a couple of more years there, and he was in 2012, he was named the league MVP. In 13, he left to go to Puerto Rico and Europe before returning back to Illawarra Hawks in 2015, and again under his mate Rob Beveridge. In that season, he was named, unbelievable, NBL's most valuable player for the second time and also the NBL's best defensive player. He had a second stint in Puerto Rico, but it was in 2016. He became the man among man's body. He joined the mighty Sydney Kings. That's when his life turned for the better.
I thought you were talking about the Boomers.
He spent 4 years, and he is an integral part of their coaching staff as well. Yes, you are right. In 2016, he did make his Olympic debut for the Australian Boomers, and unfortunately, they lost and came fourth in that gut-wrenching bronze medal game. He is one of the nicest guys in the NBL, and boy, what a resume. An NBL champion, an NBL Grand Final MVP, two-time MVP, NBL Best Defensive, four-time All-NBL, an NBL scoring champion, multiple European championships. The guy is a legend, and we are here to welcome him. Kevin Lish, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Kevin, we're going to take
quite the
you
intro.
Right. Yeah. I went out and got some fish and chips. We're going to actually take you through your whole career and sort of find out how you got into basketball. But I've got a question I want to fire at you right from the beginning, which is sort of later in your career. And that is, as an American who's become an Australian, how significant for you was Olympic selection and being in an Olympic team? Because other Americans that have got citizenship here and have played for Australia, when I've spoken to them, they all had dreams as kids of playing NBA or getting some sort of professional gig, but never really had the Olympics on their radar. So I'm curious as to how big an event was that for you as someone who's adopted our country and had our country adopt you as well?
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. And kind of like you mentioned, I think growing up in the U.S., I never really dreamed of playing in the Olympics or anything like that. And for me, as I said many times, the coolest thing was, you know, my wife's Australian, all my kids are Australian, so I was kind of lagging behind. I was the only non-Australian in our family. So I think just as much for me, the personal decision and ability to get my citizenship in the country just meant a lot to me personally and I think to my family as well. And then, you know, on top of that, you top it off, you know, with being able to go to the Olympics, represent your country. It was just an amazing experience. But I think the personal connection to it, you know, being really tied to this country was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Kev, I want to take you back. We always do this in the pod. And I want to, how did it start for you? Was it always basketball? Was it a different sport? What sort of made you get on the court?
I think, you know, I played, you know, baseball and track and field, soccer, all this stuff growing up. But I always loved basketball. And you know, I have two sisters and a brother. And, you know, my dad and mom, we were really close family, and we were always on the court, you know, every single day for hours and hours. And it was just something we, you know, grew up loving to do as a family. And then it really became a passion where, like, let's get good at this. And we really worked on on our game every day. But I think at the center of it all was just that joy and passion and something we did as a family, and it just kind of grew from there.
Was there multiple college offers, or was it just, this is the one I want?
Yeah, there were a lot of college offers, and, you know, I went on recruiting trips, mostly recruiting trips just so I could play against good competition and yeah, you know, good guys at the colleges. So I, you know, went around. But I grew up 15 minutes from St. Louis U, and had a really good relationship, you know, with their players and the coach. So that was kind of the next progression for me, and I was pretty excited about going there.
And after that, did you entertain or did you hope for an NBA career? And because I'm curious as to how you came to come to Australia. So just walk us through what happened post-college.
Yeah, I think everyone, you know, dreams of that, or, you know, a lot of people. And, you know, I you know, did my stuff, you know, after my senior year, some workouts and, you know, tournaments, all that stuff. Yep. I think so. One of my assistant coaches in college, Chris Harriman, was from Australia.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Illawarra boy too. I remember Chris very
much. Yeah, exactly. So Chris was my assistant for a year or two, and he was like, hey mate, you know, they got some pretty good basketball in Australia. And I was like, oh geez, I never really, you know, entertained that idea. Right. And, he was, I think, pretty good friends with Bevo and talked to him. And then it came down, honestly, to me taking a job in Austria or Australia. And heck, I didn't really, you know, they both sounded pretty similar to
similar,
me, you
yeah.
know, being the naive American, the naive American that I was. You know, I looked up Perth. They said, you know, obviously some really good things about it. And the rest was kind of history there. But, yeah, that's kind of how that came about.
Harry's a great man. He was actually in our development squad in the Kings when I was playing there, and he was a hell of a player too, but a really good man. So you've now yeah. gone to Perth, and you've got Bevo, who I know, when I speak to Bevo, you're his mate. It's not like a player. You yeah. have an amazing relationship. Was that formed there, or was it previous? Like, where did all that come from?
No, that was definitely formed there. Right. And I think that's just the type of guy Bevo is, you know, he's, you know, he gets most out of his players on the court, but also off the court as well. And I think I was a product of that and happy to, you know, have him as my coach. And, you know, he's done so much for me in that regard. And then I think just the journey of that first year, you know, you mentioned me going from, you know, I think we went 1-8 in preseason. They wanted to get rid of me, probably rightfully so, a number of times. Fortunately, I was ignorant and just kept playing and working at it. And then, you know, we were up and down and then ended up winning a championship. So I think all the, you know, the winding path that we took to that championship kind of, you know, maybe springboarded us to go further with that.
I'm curious to know, being in Perth and what a huge program that is, and they had amazing imports over the years, you know, Grace, Crawford and things like that. Did you know the history? You know, they call it Wildcats basketball. That's, you know, I just want to know how you felt. And also, I just remember you getting bashed in games, not bashed physically, but that was so physical, the games back there compared to what it is now. How did you find that in Perth? It was just looked like you're going up against a brick wall every night.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, it was an extremely physical league back then. And it, you know, even watching the Tasmania-Melbourne series a week or two ago, it kind of brought back memories.
Yes,
I remember Paul,
yes.
Paul Henare guarding me and just, you know, locking me up and me not being able to move. And I'm thinking, I need to work on some martial arts stuff or do something. But, and then, yeah, I think to your first question, you know, Perth has this history. I probably didn't realize it until I first got there. And I think I was doing, you know, member calls on the phone and some guy said, oh, you're the new import. He said, yeah, we haven't had much luck with the other imports. You know, they've been cut and I hope you're better than them and stuff. And,
you know, reality. Like, oh, reality. Oh, geez. Jeez.
And but fortunately, I was young and kind of ignorant, And
that wasn't Damian Martin on the phone by any chance, was it?
You know, it very well could have been him or Drew Williamson, one of those guys. And, yeah. You know, I not to backtrack too much, I remember we'd go into team meetings and, you know, Drew jokingly after the meeting would go, well, they didn't give you your flight back home yet, so I think you're good for another week or two. And, you know, I just laughed, but I think had I understand the full extent of the situation, I might have been a little more worried. But I had great people around me, and it's fun to look back on those times.
Well, now that you went and played for Illawarra, so when you got to Illawarra, which obviously Bevo was there, so this is I'm sort of taking a bit of a jump. Did anybody at Illawarra sort of challenge you about that shot you made in Game 3 of the Grand Final series when you beat them in Perth? You know that shot when there was 1 second left and there was a timeout. They passed you the ball. You dribbled it three times, went through two defenders, got the shot off. All that occurred within like 1 second. Does anyone sort of ever ask you of the Hawks? Like, come on, Kev, you know you were over.
Yeah. you get little things here and there. I probably traveled on that play. I haven't looked back on that very recently. But, I mean, there probably were. I guess Tim Conrad would have been playing on that team. I know yes. Glenn Saville and I have had a laugh in the past. And I reminded him he was probably the grumpiest player in the NBL his last year of playing. And I think, it was kind of fun coming back to Illawarra, to Wollongong, to, you know, that's kind of where I got my career kick-started.
So if I forward now, you've played, now you've left the Gong, you're coming to Sydney, huge signing, new owners came in, it was all, you know, big hoo-ha and everything went through. What did you have similarities between Perth and Sydney? Because, you know, everyone talks about Wildcats basketball and the you know, the charisma that comes with that and the culture. Did you see the similarities or was it completely different?
I think when I came to Sydney, like you look at it, it was almost a new franchise.
Yes, it was.
You know, you're playing in a new arena, new owner, pretty much new staff, new players, everything. So it was kind of, you know, building from the ground up. So there was a lot of legwork those original guys and that we kind of had to do to get moving. And we knew that there is a long way to go to get to, you know, as you said, you know, at the time, you know, the gold standard being Perth. So, I mean, there were similarities, but there is also, you know, a lot of work to do, I think.
Did you have to do most of that, Kevin? Because you would have had that experience of Perth. You would have known how to sort of maybe instruct younger players as to what's acceptable, what isn't, how you should look after yourself, how you should, you know, put the club forward. You would have played a fairly major role in that, I would have thought.
Well, I think, you know, obviously it comes, you know, from the front office and you know, the coaches, but ultimately it's the players. And it's not one player doing it. It's you got to have, you know, more than one player and then everyone start to really buy in with that. So, you know, I like to think I put some effort into it, but we also had, you know, really good guys around us and Alex Marich and Brad Newley, you know, some older guys as well. And you know, Jason Cadee had been with the Kings for a little, Tom Garlick. So, you know, there are a lot of guys who also, you know, played a role in that. And I think it was fun to go about and try to build something there.
Now I want to take you back to something that very few people ever talk about, and that was the high stakes hoops tournament in Adelaide. Now you were in a team with, if memory serves me correct, as I'm testing my memory, it was Damian Martin and Adam Gibson. This is like the hard-ass backcourt of all time. how much did you enjoy that tournament? Because I think that's the first time I got a really good look at you as a journalist looking as a player. And I thought, that you are crazy fearless. You were driving into the basket, into no, you know, like there were big guys waiting to smack the living bejesus out of you. And that was just such a tough team. Did that help you in your transition into Australian basketball?
You know, I think it did. Yeah, we had Peter Crawford on that team as well. Yep. Tony Ronaldson. We had a good team. And
yes,
it was funny because at the end of the year, you know, we had won the championship. And then Matt Shanahan was there. Pat Reedy, they were coaches. And they called, said, you want to play? I was like, oh, sure. I'm kind of tired. I, you know, Wildcats are keeping me out here to do promos, so I may as well anyways. And, you know, I get to Adelaide, and Matt Shanahan's like, we're having two-a-days practice. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. Like, this is real. But then you can imagine, you know, with Gibbo and Damo and those guys, like, yeah. We had quite the backcourt. And we played really hard. We were a pretty tough team. I think that's when they had the if I remember correctly, there was one game we were up by four, but then they had like this four-pointer thing when the
yes.
backboard lit up.
Oh, yep.
And
that's
I think
right,
we
yes.
hit like yep. four straight four-pointers. So, yeah, that was we had a pretty good team and a tough team. But I think, you know, playing in something like that, it definitely grew my confidence and it was just really enjoyable as well.
Kev, I remember a few years ago, unfortunately, pre-COVID, there was the NBA-NBL. And you went over and, if memory serves me correct, played the Clippers. And I think you had like 16 points. What was that like? That must have just been.
Yeah, it was great. Like the first year we played, we played the Jazz. And then we played the Clippers after that. And then it was just a really good experience. More so for myself, once again, personally, because, you know, you don't get to see your family all the time. And it was a chance where they could, you know, come and see me play professionally and then obviously play against an NBA team. It was, pretty cool experience and a lot of fun, really.
With that experience, did you sort of think when you were playing against them, I could have handled this level? I could have been an NBA player if someone had just, you know, if I'd just been in the right set of circumstances.
Oh yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way, and you know, at the same time, like I've been so blessed where I am right now, and yeah, sometimes it is right place, right time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know you're not good enough. Sometimes they don't need you. Whatever it is, I've been pretty happy and don't really regret. You know, too much about my career. Yeah, it would have been definitely pretty cool to do. But I mean, geez, the things I've gotten to enjoy here have
yes.
been pretty amazing.
Like Vegemite.
That's right. Yeah, that was what I was thinking about, actually.
I'm sure you were. Kev, 2019-20 grand final. You go over in Perth, you guys win one, you come home, you lose it, you're down 2-1, but you're theoretically going back to Perth and the league gets cancelled. And the championship gets awarded to Perth. What was that like?
Yeah, it was weird, really. That's probably the best way to describe it. I think it was at a time when, you know, there are a lot of unknowns, you know, guys trying
scary.
To get back to their own countries and just a really weird time. And at the same time, like I have, you know, no bad feelings about it. I've never lost a day of sleep in my life it's just another memory to put in the bank and to look back on and say, wow, what an interesting ride it's been.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got one for you. This is going to come out a little bit out of left field. Who was your quirkiest teammate when you first arrived in Perth? Like, taking into account the fact that you didn't really know much about Australians and what we were like, and that we, you know, like to pull the mickey and poke fun at people. Like, who was, like, what was the biggest surprise, and who was your quirkiest teammate at Perth?
Well, I mean, I had some quirky teammates, and I mean, I'm probably at the forefront of that anyway. But anytime you get a team that has Paul Rogers and Martin Catalini, you know,
oh, yeah.
leading the way,
jeez.
I think there's going to be some quirky moments.
Why and do I sense think, the Benny Hill music just coming to my mind?
No, and I mean, something that really stands out, we're getting ready for, you know, the grand final against, you know, the Hawks, and Paul Rogers by that time had already ended the season. He had to have like an elbow operation and Cat was over on the sidelines with Paul as we're practicing, and Cat was icing his ankle, and all of a sudden I hear them laughing and I'm like, what's going on? And I think it was Cat drinking the ice bucket water that his ankle was in or whatever.
Oh,
and Paul Rogers had bet him that he wouldn't drink at all or something just goofy like that. And I mean, it just epitomized, you know, just the fun loving and, yeah, I guess weirdness of it all. But those were two great guys that I really liked and enjoyed being around.
And what about at Illawarra? Was there anyone like that there? I mean, you said that Glenn Saville was going through a grumpy phase, but what about Matt Campbell or any of the others? Were they?
Yeah, well, I didn't play with Glenn or Matt. They had just, I think, left the year after retired.
Yes.
So who? I mean, Larry Davidson. You know,
oh, yeah.
I really liked Larry a lot. But man, he was a character and someone you enjoy. I mean, Tyson Demos, one of my favorite teammates of all time, and just a funny, you know, quirky dude that I just love being around.
Kev, I want to fast forward now. You've finished your career. You've now finished playing last game Sydney Kings and you go into coaching. You hear so many players. I mean, I did a similar thing myself and what it's like. Talk to us about the going from a player to a coach, how different that is, the feeling, how you feel game days compared to playing. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a totally different, you know, perspective. But like for me, it's been such a fun transition because even right now, you know, whereas when you're a player, you're kind of, you know, you're doing the action, you're in it, you know, the blood, sweat and tears, and you are as a coach. But now as a coach, you kind of get to see that whole journey kind of from the outside looking in as well. And it's pretty fulfilling to see some of these guys, you know, whether it's playing time or just, you know, personal things they've had to work through. To come out on top is just so much fun to see and kind of live through them. I've just really enjoyed. And then, yeah, it's a whole different, you know, ballgame. As a player, you read the scouting report, you rock up and play. Whereas a coach, you know, there's so much more you got to put in behind the scenes that you don't realize, you know, so much as a player. So, you know, two very different things, but you know, so much fun to be a part of.
You have seen so many players come and go in this league. Where does Jalen Adams rate?
Oh, I think he ranks as, you know, and I've said it before, is one of the best, you know, that I've seen. In the fact that he does so many different things on the court, scoring, rebounds, assists. When he's locked in defensively, he can be one of the best defenders in the league. So, you know, I think I would love, you know, to see him stay as long as he can. And I think, you know, for people to see that consistent, you know, greatness throughout his career is, you know, usually what people define stuff. But from what I've seen in this year, I can't think of any others that really does what he does and has impact on the game like he does.
All right, if I can just interrupt this Sydney Kings love fest for just a moment and ask you, how do you rate Bryce Cotton?
Oh, I mean, Bryce is once again one of the best this league has ever seen as well. He does it in a different way, though. His motor just does not stop. He is absolutely amazing at how he can just run and run and never get tired. Yep. And, you know, I think Bryce's, you know, his fearlessness, his ability to, you know, be the best player on, you know, one of the best teams year in, year out. And I think with Cotton it's been his consistency over the, you know, the 4 or 5 years he's been in the league or however long. I think that's the most impressive thing about him.
Right. All right. We've got game 3 coming up in the championship. Have you been, I mean, you must have been like the rest of us, a little bit impressed with what Tasmania has achieved in its first season. I mean, just setting sentiment, you know, or bringing sentiment into it for a second before we set that aside and get to the nitty gritty. But you know, just looking at what they've achieved, you have to think, wow, that Scott Roth and that organisation has done a fantastic job.
Yeah, he's done an amazing job, and you know, I've had some good chats to Mark Radford, their other assistant, who was my assistant in Perth my first year, and just talking to him, and they've done a wonderful job, and but obviously in the moment, I'm probably just too focused on the job we're trying to do that I don't have too much time to reflect on that. But from the outside looking in, they've done a great job.
And Jalen Adams, is he any chance to play in game three?
Oh, I don't know about that. And I'm not going to speak out of line. And you're not
No, that's
that,
okay. So. No. No, I mean, I figure if he was going to play, he was in years.
No, yeah, so, no, exactly. So, you're not going to get any very good answers from me with that.
Kev, it doesn't matter.
We won't even be out before the game.
It's just a cranky non-King supporter. Don't worry about him, Kev. Last question I want to ask is I want to try and get in the head of you now as an Sydney Kings assistant coach or an assistant coach going into a grand final series. Is it for our listeners out there, is it same thing, guys? We've been working all year for this, day in, day out, same things, or is there a little twist that comes into these games?
Well, I think, you know, in a series you have more time to look at each team individually and, you know, maybe try and get a bit more precise with things. But for the most part, you know, like most athletes, they love their routine and you try and keep things, you know, pretty similar. But you do have to realize and address, you know, these are more emotional times for the players. Yeah. And you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel, but you're not there yet. And you know, there's the focus and the, you know, that aspect that comes into play. So, but yeah, for the most part, I think you try and keep things pretty similar to what got you there.
Kevin, I'd very strongly suggest you wear a suit tomorrow night that you don't mind getting drenched in some sort of champagne or some sort of other juice, because that's probably going to happen if you wrap it up. We're going to wrap it up, and we like to wrap it up with a word association game where we just throw a name at our interviewer, our interview guest, and you just throw back the first thing that pops in your head, whether that's a word, a sentence, or an anecdote. We'll take any one of those. I'm going to open up with Kirk Penny.
Oh, can I use more than one word?
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
I mean, just a beautiful person, amazing player, and a great teammate.
Buddy, how good was that when those two were in Illawarra? Was that just privilege to watch? Oh, I love it, it was a joy.
It was a joy.
That was great. All right, I'm going to go next. A good mate of yours, Sean Redditch.
Just a winner and a competitor.
Nice.
Okay. Luke Longley.
I would say mentor for me personally and for our team. And I just can't get enough of Luke in my life.
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, I'm going to stay with another 7-foot NBA champion, Andrew Bogut.
competitor, winner, just, I mean, he's a great teacher, a good friend, and just another great guy just to have around.
Okay, my last one for you is Brad Newley.
Brad, he's the raging bull. He's a you know, he stood the test of time. He's a competitor, and unstoppable in the open court.
Don't worry, Kev. I've got one more, and I'll just throw this at you, Andrew Gaze.
Andrew Gaze, all around, just one of the nicest, greatest guys you could come into contact with. You know, one of the goats of basketball and just probably a national treasure.
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful.
Kev, like that.
Can I just start by saying for you to give up 30 minutes of your time in an NBL Grand Final week is just shows what type of guy you are. We thank you so much for coming on. You are a peon of our sport, mate, and you are a beautiful Sydney Kings man as well. I just wanted to get that in for body.
He's just a beautiful man. Don't put Sydney Kings in there, for Christ's sake, Brad.
Kev, we wish you all the best for tomorrow night, mate, and you're a great human being. Thank you for being on here.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate it.
The nicest bloke in the NBL, buddy. What a great human being. But sometimes I see that and people forget, man, he was a killer on the court. Oh, a guy that gets an MVP and best defensive.
Yep. Yeah, that's Michael Jordan territory, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Really, it is. And I'm not comparing him, I'm just saying.
He had that little step back cross thing. What he did was unstoppable.
Yeah, but when he got to the hoop, he would go in there where these big buggers were waiting to bash the living bejesus out of him. As I said, the first few times I saw him play, I thought, this guy's too courageous for his own good. He's going to end up getting hurt.
Yeah, we didn't see the best of him in Sydney for some injuries, unfortunately. But what he did, there was times there he was just bang. Anyway, grand final week. What have you seen?
Well, I think Tasmania has given it its best shot in the locker. They really needed to win that game too. Huge plays by Dejan Vasiljevic. We're talking about the three-pointer. That's the biggest shot of the series, probably. Yeah. But before that, he made two free throws as well that were pretty damn important. So, I just think what he gave them in the absence of Jalen Adams was terrific.
I thought, the worry for me with Jalen being out is Ian Clark, when Jalen's been out, has struggled a little bit because he's got to create that little bit more.
Right.
And he's just got more that he's got to deal with, where when he's coming with Jalen brings the ball up and then it goes bang, bang. And, then Ian Clark has 20. That's as simple as that.
Yeah, but
Ian Clark played well, but you could see that he was missing his partner there.
But I wouldn't underestimate what Sean Bruce brought in game two. I thought Sean Bruce brought a lot of – defensively, I think he got in Maggette's face a fair bit, and seven assists, a couple of real big ones for dunks.
But I'll tell you what, Jarrell Martin and Xavier, 20 and 10, both of them. That's huge. Yeah. They were huge. Look, we're obviously calling this on the Tuesday, as we know we're recording this. So, people may listen to this when the grand final's over. You're thinking it will go three, Boddy. I did predict four. Yeah. I can't see Sydney failing tomorrow. I just can't see that happening.
Nah,
what will be a great win for Sydney, but still a huge tick for Tasmania.
No question at all. They've had a magnificent season, and that was win, lose, or draw. Whatever happened in the championship series, they've had a magnificent 100%. Season.
Yep.
And just as Geelong in 1982, 40 years ago, got to the grand final, couldn't quite get over the hump. I don't think they can quite get over the hump, because this is a very, very deep and talented Sydney Kings team.
I agree with you. All right, give me your rattler. You go first. Give me your rattler. Come on.
I don't have a rattler. I have a
nasty. No, sorry. Give me a nasty.
Look, my nasty is Kevin Lish, who we just had on the program. He should be coaching game three for the Sydney Kings, because Chase Buford should be that out, because when he got that $10,000 fine recently, it said he was fined $10,000 and received a single match suspension that's suspended until the completion of the 2022-23 season. So that means that he had to keep his nose clean till the end of next season, which he didn't. He kicked that LED board. He carried on like a pork chop. You're fining him and you're saying he did the wrong thing. That is a code of behavior issue, which means that one game should have been activated. Kevin Lish should have been coaching tomorrow night. I think the NBL was weak as water. And I would say weak as piss, but, we don't like to go there. So weak as water, because I think they're so terrified of upsetting anyone with any NBA connections that they just don't have the ghoulies to do what should have been done.
Well,
and
I know
that's my.
No, that's fair enough. All I do know is that those signs are very expensive. So that's going to cost him a fortune. Well, look, I'm going to talk to my rattler, right? And I cannot believe that DJ Vasiljevic is getting death threats, is what the talk is on social media.
Mm.
That is just unbelievable that can happen. Now, I know there was a lot of talk that they went on, after the game and stuff like that.
No, that's right.
Everyone does it. I got no problems with that. It wasn't like I didn't see them anything that I could say was personal.
Hey, Brad, if you'd hit that shot, you would have been jumping up and down.
Absolutely.
I've got no issue with
that. So for him to do what he did, I think, but then to get that, come on, people, it's sport. This is mental health, in this day and age. No, these keyboard bloody warriors hiding behind. It's bullshit, buddy, is what
it is. But, I mean, I don't take any validity in the fact that there's a death threat. Like, I think there are people just doing that because they're a-holes. That's all. Mm. They don't actually intend to harm him. They're just a-holes. And I think by giving him oxygen, unfortunately, they get what they want, a little bit of joy, because they think they've upset him.
And that's a good point. That's a good point. You don't want to give these people oxygen, but that's just not cool, man.
That's absolute rubbish, and it doesn't belong anywhere. Not just in sports. Absolutely. It doesn't belong anywhere.
Absolutely. Well, all I say is those people are not allowed, but we are down to Burger Boss, mate. How good are the Burger Boss burgers and hot dogs, mate?
Love them. It's why I'm overweight currently.
Currently?
Currently, yeah. I was doing all right about 6 months ago, and then I got into a project, and through that project I've been going down. But anyway, you don't want to know. It's a long and gruesome
story. I heard that you tried three different diets over the last few months, but and the only reason is because one diet wasn't enough food. Anyway, we're moving on. Can I just say thank you to everyone. Great feedback from David Bartlett last week.
Yes, that was fantastic. How good was he?
Kevin Lish. He was great. Thank you to Kevin Lish today. We obviously wish Tasmania and the Sydney Kings all the best. To our Piranha Media, thank you for all the support you give us. And again, Burger Boss, thanks for everything. Bottend, have a lovely weekend, my man.
I should say. I hope this championship is still going at the weekend, but I very much doubt that it will.
No, I doubt it as well. But anyway, to everyone, have a great week. And for Boddy, see you next time.
You know the best thing about those NBL NBA games, I reckon, is that the NBL imports who didn't get to the NBA and those Australian guys that had entertained thoughts that maybe they should have got to the NBA, they actually got a chance to put themselves out there against those players and to sort of see where they really fit. Like, is the dream kind of alive, or is, you know, you just been sort of slapped back into place? Like, no.
Well, some of them I agree with, and others, well, maybe they should be playing for the Harlem Globetrotters or more Washington Bullets.
General
or generals.